Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 208, episode 4 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, November 4th, 2021. And so I know what that means. You know what that means. But Miles, why don't you tell them what International Day we're dealing with?
Oh, if you didn't know, it's November 4th. That means National Men Make Dinner Day. Coming off the heels of National Housewives Day is also National Chicken Lady Day and National Cashback Day. I don't know what the fuck Chicken Lady Day.
Chicken Lady?
Who is that for? It's honoring Dr. Marthenia Tina Dupree. For 12 years, she worked as the second largest chicken, worked for the second largest chicken restaurant in the world.
Okay. I'm glad she has a day. You know, I think a lot of people deserve a day.
Hey, look, is there someone in your community who elevates people around them? If so, celebrate them like others celebrate the chicken lady.
Hell yeah. I mean, I know they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night, but I didn't know there was a chicken lady. Maybe she avenged the chicken. That's a lyric from Bruce Springsteen song. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack to the Maximum. I am asking him, would you like to bounce with a father that's jacking him? That is courtesy of Suburban Panic Attack. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray. Democrats took another L, so will they blame progressives this time? Not sure, but we shall see. A lot of interesting takes already coming out of that.
I think they will. Safe money is on, yes, they will.
Of course, I mean, they have to. There's no other way, because otherwise they would have to arrive at the conclusion falling terribly short of everything and then do something. So it has to be the progressives.
Yes. Could it be me that's wrong?
No, it's got to be the children.
Hey, don't, Nancy, don't think that. Blame the young people with their little Green New Deal or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented TV writer, podcast host and producer, comedian and essayist. She's a Los Angeles-based stand-up comedian. Sorry.
That's a lot of jobs. Like, whoa, bitch, slow down.
She co-created and produces and co-hosts the brilliant podcast Private Parts Unknown, comedy sex travel podcast, and is the lead producer of the Bellas podcast. Her essays and writing have been published in little small outlets such as the Washington Post, the LA Times, Bustle, Hello Giggles. She's written for Amazon's Emmy-winning animated series Danger and Eggs. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Courtney Kozak!
Hello.
What up?
Thank you for ruining my whole website.
Yeah. That's what we do. That's what we do
now,
here.
And now, and also gallery about me and at just like reading strictly the head navigation of the website. What's new? What's new, Courtney?
Not much, fellas. It's been a long pandemic, but reemerging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just was in New York. Other than that, I've been working at my house. So,
How was New York? What's good? What's happening?
New York felt really normal. I was there in September and then again in October, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you can just check vax cards, and everything else felt good." So,
Yeah. Nice. I feel like mask adoption is pretty strong in New York City.
Because of the subway, you can't get on the subway,
right?
Unless you're wearing your mask. So I feel like that
frame of mind. All right. Well, Courtney, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of the things that we're talking about today. The Democrats. Mm-hmm. The Democrats. That's who we're talking about. They failed to win in Virginia, but they succeeded in defeating a socialist mayor in Buffalo with a literal rubber stamp campaign. So we're just going to talk about the state of the Democratic Party, the state of progressivism. I am going to vent and get you guys' thoughts on where we're at, where we're headed. We will talk about some things that we learned that aren't necessarily the worst, like that critical race theory fears weren't that potent in most of the country, and some nice news, some wins for the city of Boston and Cincinnati. We will talk about, you know, defund the police movement. The defend the police movement is getting more popular, but the defund the police movement seems to be losing popularity. It lost a yes, no vote in Minneapolis. So we're going to talk about where we head from here. We're going to talk about Americans' food delivery habits, America's favorite Thanksgiving sides, all of that, plenty more. But first, Courtney, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so I looked up Philip Rodriguez last night to share a contact with someone, and he's a documentarian, and he does a lot of stuff on Latinx culture, and he was so nice. I randomly met him at a bar, and he just, like, gave me advice, half-drunken advice for, like, an hour. I was like, this guy is so nice. So shout out Philip. And then before that, I looked up an actress's plastic surgery. So one good, one bad.
The duality of man.
Yeah.
Shout out to this documentarian, and also excellent. Wait, you're trying to find
did
before
she
and
or
after?
Didn't she?
Or oh, so you were suspecting, or you're looking for an answer whether or not something had been.
Yeah, I suspected, and I feel like this woman's gone through a number of transformations, but I'm not here to police women's faces.
No, but just for your own curiosity, you're like, I want to make sure my skills of observation
are
correct, because I feel like something has shifted.
For sure. I pride myself in my ability to detect small shifts like that.
Right.
Is that a thing the face can naturally do on its own?
I don't think so.
As one ages, but
forehead get tighter with age.
Wrinkles evaporate.
Yeah. So you've been able to kind of spot these small disturbances in the face.
Yeah. I usually am like turning Sophia onto it. I'm terrible. This is private.
That's funny, because you're talking about Sophia Alexandra, who I do 420 Day Fiance with. There's a cast member there where people are hotly debating, like, what is happening to this person's face, whether it's plastic surgery or not, or just less stress or weight loss. And it's just like I get the energy around that. And she's been very like trying to send me before and after. She's like, oh, I don't know.
It might not be. It just might not be. People's faces.
It's one of our guilty pleasures.
Yeah. It's a great parlor trick to be able to call it out.
Right.
Except for that one time Demi Moore, remember when she came out with her new face right before she got with Ashton and people were like, what the fuck is this?
Hey, right. That like, was...
Is she in a time machine?
Superior work. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
So that was work? That wasn't just like...
Oh, yeah. I feel like they put a dollar amount on that.
Oh, did they? Nice. Yeah. Good for her. Yeah, it is tough to tell, like, because sometimes people just... Some people genetically age better than other people.
Like Salma Hayek.
Right.
And
yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Sometimes it's both, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to just be like, that has, like, it's harder to be like, some people will just be infinitely young looking.
Right.
I think that's a scarier proposition to some people than like, no, that has to be work. That has to be work. It can't just be these genetics or somehow on God mode.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
What the fuck happened to me compared to that? Right.
Yeah. What is, Courtney, something that you think is overrated?
Well, so I was thinking about this and then I saw that Brian Cox shaded Johnny Depp in his new memoir and he called him overrated. And I was like, yes, I feel like apropos of nothing, he just offered that up. And so I'm going to second that.
Yeah. The things he wrote in that were pretty amazing.
I think we read it on here, but I do want to reread it just so so people hear.
Oh, you guys have already discussed?
Well, no. Someone called the tweet out, I think, when it first dropped.
That's right. Yeah, his just shading a bunch of people. But I think specifically this quote really seemed to be a incisive observation. Brian Cox in his new book says, I mean, Edward Scissorhands, let's face it. If you come on with hands like that and pale, scarred face makeup, you don't have to do anything. And he didn't. And subsequently, he's done even less, which is a strike. I think that's a pretty strong takedown of the start of his career. I would say that his Captain Jack Sparrow performance is definitely not him doing nothing. It's him doing, he's doing
he's
the most.
He's doing a lot.
Richards, right?
Right. He's just doing a Keith Richards impression.
Right.
I just love, too, that I, in reading the quotes from Brian Cox, I could, like, hear him say them.
Like, it should have fuck off at the end of every, like,
a fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, did you see the one, I was talking shit about Steven Seagal, too.
That was great.
He radiates a studied serenity as though he's on a higher plane to the rest of us. And while he's certainly on a different plane, no doubt about that, it's probably not a higher one.
Yeah. Yeah. The stories about Steven Seagal behind the scenes are truly amazing. Just somebody who left the planet the second they got even a modicum of success and fame and has been operating in a different universe ever since in a way that is destructive to the people around him and just reality in general.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Steven.
Steven. Ah, Steven.
Steven.
What is something that you think is underrated?
This is so hard. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to do a shout out to Joan Four is this 80-something-year-old woman we had on our podcast. She wrote a book over the pandemic. It's called My Heart's Journey. And it's about her riding on a motor scooter across Europe in 1964, and it's so cute. And here's the weird thing about it is like it illustrates how rapey the culture used to be. It's like she's constantly being chased down by men or like being groped or like just there's all kinds of just subtle things in there where you're like, oh my God,
right?
We've made a little bit of progress. But anyway, other than that, a heartwarming book. I sent it to my grandma.
This and wait, did she write it like it's like a retrospective? Like she wrote it in her 80s?
She wrote it like, in the last couple of years. She got bored during the pandemic and she wrote about this like amazing adventure she went on. And it was really amazing because that's scary. I wouldn't do that. Get in a motor scooter by myself and go across Europe.
In the 60s? Across Europe?
No.
That's a challenge. Great. Wait,
not safe.
Is the book like blowing up? Like, is she just like, she's
no, no,
got
no.
Her
nobody knows
wind?
About it. That's why she's
oh,
underrated.
Okay. I like that.
So if you are interested in a story about the 60s or the story that was written by an 80-something-year-old woman or prior rapey culture,
yeah,
this is a good book for you.
Wow.
Joan, F-O-O-R. Journey. Yeah. Like, up until the 70s had a, like, there's all these, like, very mainstream cultural artifacts from the late 70s and early 80s that are basic, like, blatant acts of pedophilia. Like, there are, like, I think it was Brooke Shields was, like, a sex symbol as a, like,
right
child. And,
oh, like, Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, there was this makeup or perfume ad that I commented on in my old crack show, The Spit Take, but it was, like, a woman dressed up as, like, a, you know, child and in this thing, and she was, like, licking a lollipop, and she was, like, and the ad said, "Nothing sexier than a baby." And then that was just the ad. And I feel like when you go back and watch 80s movies and you have these, like, male characters being like, well, you know, it's the 80s, women liberation, like, that's what they're lamenting. That's what's being lost in their right. in their opinion is their ability to just determine all sexual mores.
It was consensual groping. Like,
yeah.
She didn't mind.
Right.
What?
And also determine whether mustaches were cool or not. I feel like that was a thing that was lost at the end of the 70s and into the 80s.
Things we lost.
Yeah.
Big mustache America.
Let's keep mustaches. We can get rid of the rapey.
Yeah, there you go. Are you a fan of mustaches?
You know, they can be hot.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
here and there.
Well, you know, check back on our Movember stashes.
I'm excited about
mine. Might not be fully grown in until December 14th, but I am trying day by day.
Like that it might be like a wire Brillo pad kind of situation.
No, it will be. It's going to be a cause for concern more than a stash, I think, but we'll see.
And mine is going to make me look like your stepdad.
Yeah. You think it's going to mess your kids up?
Yeah, it will. It'll fuck them up. My wife, as I've talked about, has asked me to move out of the house while I grow it. It's going to be a real upending of my life. And
you just become a different guy.
I do. I look like a one because I did this in college and just looked like I was a 45-year-old stepdad. And that was before I was, you know, in my 40s. So
I can't God picture it. I'm excited. Happen.
It's very Tune strong in. And not great. It's not great, but we are going to be right back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And what was being billed as the biggest election since Biden defeated Trump happened last night in Virginia. And, you know, the Republican, even though Biden defeated Trump by 10 points there, a Republican came through and defeated the Democratic incumbent. And, you know, we've talked in the past couple episodes about how this is being covered in the mainstream, that like this is the hope for the Republican Party, that they can take the parts of Trumpism that are helpful, discard the toxic parts, and win a bunch of seats in the midterm. And that seems to have borne out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing to just keep in mind is, like, if you look statistically at Virginia, in like since the 70s, there's only been one time a Democrat has won the presidency, and then the governor's house didn't flip. So
right,
this is pretty much this is just a general pattern.
Right.
I think, especially like, you know, 1 in 11, that feels like this was going to be a pretty hard fought thing. But yeah, there's a lot of work being done in Virginia to not have like a real policy for McAuliffe to like run on, more than being like, Youngkin's a Republican, though.
Right.
So, and like Trump endorsed him, and we're going to buy a bunch of ads with the Youngkin's name on it, just trying to be like, yeah, so Trump loves him. So, McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And then in Buffalo, the Democratic primary earlier this year, a Democratic socialist, India Walton, defeated the incumbent mayor, Byron Brown. And so that was unacceptable to the establishment. And so they started distributing stamps with his name on them for people to put in the write-in part, so that there would be no like spelling errors, and just to make it super easy, which seems like the sort of thing that you wouldn't get away with if you were not the incumbent and had been in power for 4 terms. But right, they did get away with it seems like they pulled it off. And so the Democrats are successfully defeating socialists, not successfully defeating Republicans. And this just kind of sent me down a spiral of, I think Democrats would rather lose to a Republican than a socialist at this point. It seems like, because their entire identity is defining themselves in opposition to the Republican Party, and socialism kind of throws everything out of whack because it forces them to answer questions about why they don't normally do things for their constituents. And so they are willing to, you know, get very creative. And in the case of the Buffalo mayoral race, you know, bring in a bunch of Republicans to vote for their candidate in order to defeat the Democratic socialist. They think that a lot of the votes for the incumbent were Republicans who just came in because socialism evil. And yeah, it's it just makes me wonder, you know, as we're seeing the results in the Biden administration of a Democratic Party that is just defines itself in opposition to Republicans, but doesn't really stand for anything. Like, it seems like more and more there, it's becoming clear that there is a absolute need for another answer that's not the Democratic Party. But I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of the discourse afterwards is it's never going to question the party or the manner, the way the government is set up or the system that we have. It's like, what happened with progressives? Or like, wow, white women really swung this thing for Youngkin in the governor's race, rather than holy shit. I mean, because again, it involves a party completely self-owning by being like, man, we totally fucked up. We promise shit and we don't deliver. We have a very inconsistent platform. We also have some of like the least compelling people leading the party that really doesn't move the needle for younger people who are living in a pretty much like antithetical lived reality than the one leaders think they're in.
Yeah.
So there's like a huge issue, like in terms of just even like what the, because like the face of the Democratic Party is Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden.
Right.
That's, you know, and to think that they can just kind of keep coming back to this and people go, oh, like the speaker goat is back. Like that doesn't energize anyone at all or anymore. I mean, maybe it did when they took the House like in 2006 or whatever it was when Bush was in office. But at this point, they're completely out of ideas and don't know how to speak to people and are still wondering what the problem is. And I think that's what's really alarming. It's like they're slowly and slowly, like, yeah, we don't get it. We don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the responses I'm seeing are, you know, blaming, like you were saying, like white women in Virginia for voting against their best interests. And I don't know. I think the missing ingredient that I hadn't fully been taking into account until like paying as much attention as we have been while doing this show for the past 4 years is, and especially the past year when you have a Democrat in power, and also during the election when there was a Democratic socialist candidate, that like the mainstream media is really like part of the whole system that makes it impossible for there ever to be an alternative.
Yes.
To the Big D Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, they treated the Black Lives Matter protest, the genuine like aggrievement and energy and grief that was coming from a nation and that is being murdered with impunity, as like a radical movement that they're claiming scared people away, and not acknowledging that that's because of the unfair coverage where, you know, local news and even the New York Times is portraying it as, you know, radical and leading to more murders. And then also like the way that the mainstream media like focuses on the small like culture war things about like TV shows removing blackface characters. I feel like when you look at like, if you just take a collage of all the New York Times's coverage of the Black Lives Matter movement since George Floyd was murdered, you would like get this melange of like radical protests that aren't, that like ultimately are about like things that are impossible to achieve and that like lead to a higher murder rate. And
right.
It's just like and then, you know, just the way that they cover socialism is also just a complete disingenuous fuck job.
Yeah. I mean, this is also just beyond the media too. The pattern of, scary people of color.
Yeah,
that's just a fucking tactic that works all the time in this country. Unfortunately, like, you know, there's just, as you know, especially with looking at how the BLM coverage works, it's too. If again, it's because all these things force reckonings, and we're the country that cannot have to reckon with anything ever at all. So, right. You know, we're at this point, too, where like we're clearly at the end stage here of the most this two party system can do. The wheels are coming off. People need support. And the government, even with a party in power of everything, still can't do it. It's just like, because there's all these blocks too, without understanding, it's like, oh, do we really need to have a fundamental reconfiguration or renegotiation with how we see people's healthcare or how we see people's education or right to a domicile or shelter? And that just, it's a conversation that's just too difficult for the established powers. So, right? I don't know if this is going to be, you know, like, I think a lot of optimistic Democrat pundits are like, hey, man, this could be this. Now they're seeing what's going on. Now the Democratic leadership's going to see what's going on. And now they're going to really do stuff. They're going to they'll figure it out. That's the good part of this, is they can figure it out. I'm like, really? Because been a lot of opportunities and I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have a couple years with Obama having won a, you know, massive, like what today qualifies as like a landslide victory to win the presidency, having both houses of Congress. And, you know, the most he was able to get through was an Obamacare bill that was basically written by health insurance companies. And now we have Biden with both houses and unable to do anything. And it's just, it seems like the Democrats are willing to fight for their ability to stay in power and then do nothing. Like, that seems to be what is ultimately their goal, regardless of what they say. Like, stay in power, don't change anything, just keep the status quo.
Well, and I think people just need to understand, like, really the larger point too is like the thing that is going to solve things is like the poison of the established powers now.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're just in this impossible situation where they can't embrace the thing that would spell their demise or their platform's demise. And I think that's all we're watching, where they're like,
right,
they're unable to connect the dots, because then they'd have to be like, oh, we suck, we can't do this.
Right.
You know, so instead of being like, oh, yeah, well, hey, man, paid family leave, man. Yeah, 2 years of community college, tuition free, baby. We got this $15 minimum wage. Now to Biden pulls back on this. Biden pulls back on this. Biden pulls back on this.
Right.
It's easy to say that. And then you're like, okay, so to do that, we have to kind of fundamentally change some things about the tax code and some taxation elements. Also, where our empathy goes, because it can no longer go to business owners and the people who are benefactors in terms of donations. So I think that has to be more of the norm that people sort of need to, at a baseline, need to understand, rather than getting into like the back and forth, like, well, the Democrats, the Republicans, the messaging. It's no, we're at a point in societally, we're at a point where we need major change, but we have people there that are completely, they're unable to change their operating system and it's incompatible with them. So
yeah,
I think the surprise has to end at a certain point, and people have to like the larger discussion about, is this the right thing at all? And how can we change that? Or what do we need to do as citizens to figure out how we can ensure these things or exert the proper influence to get people to, you know, come to the table to bring better outcomes for, you know, just general Americans?
Yeah.
I think climate's going to move the needle, I think, the most, right? Because all these other things are things that we can ignore to a certain extent, or like just put off nobody having insurance, or put off minimum wage hikes, or put off whatever. But when it's like, oh, we're having all these, you know, severe weather events, or, you know, all these other negative outcomes, I feel like that is going to force the revolution needle a little bit more.
It's the closest for those reasons, for sure, because it's tangible. And it's very difficult to act like it's not some fantasy ghost concept that just like half the country believes in. But then you look at what's happening in Glasgow right now with the sort of deals being made around climate change, and you're like, oh my God, they don't fucking get it.
No, right. I know.
Like, and again, because this is just like any, just like our problems here, or just as it relates to global warming, the people that are there to make the decisions, the answer to the question spells the demise of the power structure that they've benefited from.
Right.
So that's just the absurdity of how leadership is running globally at the moment. Because, like, again, with all the talk of like late stage capitalism and where we're at, it's like, yeah, the the momentum of all the good parts is worn off at this point. We're no longer coasting like we did in decades previous from like the little bit of improvements that were made to make things slightly more equitable for some people. But now, because it's been the same thing, like how can we extract the most with giving back the least? You know, it's only creating this uneasiness across the country and the world where many people are starting to feel like, what the fuck? Like, if you're not informed, it just, everything just feels like general unease and instability. But again, we're at a crossroads and we're refusing. It's a crossroads.
And the people who genuinely have all the power in this country, given like in the current system, are able to insulate themselves from the, you know, devastation of climate change because it is a problem that mostly affects poor people that aren't able to buy a island in New Zealand to go like weather the apocalypse on.
Yeah, or even just have like the, you know, the assets to say like, you know what, we're going to move. We're leaving this place. Pack your stuff up. We'll put the rest in storage. And now we live in this country.
Yeah.
I think that's short-sighted though. Like, I think that's going to catch up with people because it's so funny. I was at dinner with someone and he was like, oh, we're, it was horrible how he was saying it, but he was like, we're in that bracket, right? Like we're going to be able to escape it. And I was like, you are like a TV writer. You can, you know, like you can't outrun this thing. There's not like, it's going to have a societal cost that you're going to wind up paying, even if it's going to be like a tax that you could pay now and it could be less, or you could pay it later and you're still going to have to pay it because you'll have to pay for your share in society crumbling, basically, to some extent.
No, yeah. And I think because like that mentality has been the way most people have been able to avoid the worst of like leadership or whatever. It's like, well, that affects a certain socioeconomic bracket. Even if that's happening, there's a way for me to keep myself safe. And like, yeah, that thinking will take its place into the climate change discussion. But I think, yeah, like you're saying, people don't really have a rude awakening as, you know, more weather disruptions. That has been affecting the supply chain even right now.
Right. Sure. Exactly. It's all those little things.
Yeah. And I think when things get to the point where you have massive movements of people who are trying to escape things, you're not going to have, I mean, unless you're quite literally being like, well, I have jets and shit. Like, it doesn't even fucking matter. Okay. Right. Maybe to you. God bless you. But for everyone else, you will realize that this is a larger question that we're going to have to answer, because a climate war will kick off when you have a group of people who are saying, I no longer live on a viable piece of land. I will die if I live here. So the only choice I have is to physically relocate. And then you're going to have people saying, well, we can't come here because we only got this much, and we can't come here because we only got this much. We'll have to completely rethink what it means to live on this planet, whether it's like saying, well, you know what, we all need to pitch into a global thing to say, well, now if we have to relocate 5 million people from here, here's this massive global fund to say, okay, that's fine. Let's help build the infrastructure or house these people or feed them or clothe them and bring that out of everyone's pockets rather than see. But what we're seeing now is draw the fucking castle doors up and try and say, no, I can't get in here.
Yeah.
Which is only going to and that's where the real chaos is going to come.
But that's where I'm not saying that nothing's going to change. I'm just saying, as America exists right now, that's where the institutional momentum is like that corporations and the extremely wealthy determine policy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get real for them way later than it's going to get real for the rest of us. And I do want to raise the idea of, you know, a third party has always been something I've just rejected out of hand because I live in America and I realize like how absurd that sounds to most people, the idea of, you know, having a third party. But like something about this past year and Tuesday night's election has just like broken something in me. Like, I don't know. It just seems like the need for a unified and powerful, like democratic socialist movement that actually like takes the plight of poor people, the plight of people of color, the uncompromising climate policy, like, seriously, and like proposes policy that addresses it, like, seems, I don't know what, like, it's just become so clear that when we let the ideas like defunding the police, replacing the police or supplementing the police with alternatives that aren't scared, armed white guys like running into mental health crises, or like, you know, the Green New Deal or any socialist ideals, like when those get laundered in the Democratic Party and the centrist media, they by design get defanged. They get turned into versions of themselves that are unappealing. They get shit on in like the coverage and in like the results that get communicated to us. And it just seems like that the system is more designed to protect against anything like that happening, anything like socialism happening in America, than it is to protect against like a authoritarian white supremacist administration coming to power and harming people. Like that yeah. seems to be the lesser of two evils as far as the Democratic Party and the, you know, mainstream centrist media is concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's always going to co-opt the language of the left, you know,
right,
to just say like, because they did say all those things.
Right.
They just didn't do it. They just didn't actually take
didn't
it seriously.
Do anything
they said they'd take it seriously, but they don't actually take it seriously. And I think that's the allure or the like intoxicating appeal sometimes of Democratic policies, is that it will put the sandwich board out saying, hey, today we are going to take these things seriously. And it, on the other side, it says psych.
Right.
And again, that's why I feel like slowly, like you're saying, you've come to a point where you're saying, I feel like I've been taken advantage of many times over, or like this thing's like useless. Everyone arrives at that moment at a different time. And I think that's what's hard, is trying to figure out, you know, the best way to begin to exercise that power in terms of like a pronounced or defined group of people who are sort of all moving in that direction. And I think it'll be hard, because I think just like there also isn't as a robust media apparatus for leftist or progressive politics that aren't like on the fringes. You
right.
know, there's definitely a place for Democrats and Republicans to talk and say give their unfiltered thoughts. But where is that for people left of that?
Yeah.
And I think that's also a huge problem, because most people just don't have the opportunity to hear something like that either.
Right. I mean, it does seem like the fact that there is a generation that is more open to socialism than any past generation, that understands media better than any of the people in existing places, like at the, you know, New York Times, like that there's something that could be done. The current system just like doesn't, is never going to let anything happen, and we need something to happen. And the Republican Party was like founded in 1854 as like a radical like abolitionist party, and it like, you know, started winning states pretty quickly in the presidential election, but it was, you know, seen as a fringe party until Abraham Lincoln like actually like won the fucking White House. And like it's a thing that can happen if you're facing like a shifting reality, and we are facing a absolutely shifting reality and a crisis more than I think we have in the past 100 years, really. And I just think like the time has got, like there is the need for it, and just kind of assuming that it can't be done because it hasn't been done in the past 100 years is kind of no longer an option.
Maybe it's like the perfect storm with like TikTok and, you know, a decentralization of how people get their news in a certain way, like could propel a third party. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, well,
let's dream about it.
Yeah, I mean, the face of the electorate is changing, and the attitudes are, I think we're in an interesting middle period where there hasn't reached a tipping point numerically for enough people. But also you have a lot of people who are turned off by politics too.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, if you're not as engaged, you're going to be like, yeah, what, they're going to say they're going to raise minimum wage. All right. They didn't. Like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
And there's many issues, not just, you know, but yeah, I'm optimistic because, as you know, you're pointing out, Courtney, like, younger people definitely have their eye on it way more than I feel like we did at their age, because
yes,
we had a relative period of seemingly okay stability. Whereas if you're born in like after 2000, you've only seen like recession after recession, and you're like, what the fuck is this place?
Right.
Right. Yeah. There were some, you know, silver linings in the shit storm that was election night. For instance, critical race theory fears weren't as potent as I think people are going to pretend they were.
Yeah.
In a lot of the mainstream, you know, like right outside of DC, they had some, Loudoun County had some really wild school board meetings and protests, and yet the Democratic candidate won that district by double digits when, you know, the Republican candidate was like running on the ability to not allow people to read Toni Morrison.
Right.
Yeah.
When that was the other thing Youngkin did well, was he wore whatever mask in front of whatever audience that he had to.
Right.
He didn't have to be consistent. He'd be like, yeah, man, we gotta get these pedophiles to stop drinking adrenochrome, to one crew, and be like, I really think that comprehensive immigration reform is necessary. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was truly just this funhouse mirror candidacy. But yeah, like you're saying, that wasn't, you know, Loudoun County. Okay, it wasn't as pronounced of a win. There were some wins, though, like in Southlake, Texas, home of Holocaust both sidesery.
Right.
They took some seats there, and also in a Kansas City suburb, there were some wins. But then there are also some like pronounced defeats, like in Guilford, Connecticut, that has had also some wild anti-critical race theory school board protests. The anti-CRT candidates got shut out of their attempts to get on the school board there. And in like Iowa, there were some right-wing candidates on this slate that called the Wolves and Warriors United, all defeated. All defeated.
Damn.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's based on the guy who goes around speaking to police forces about why they should feel okay about shooting people.
Oh, warrior mentality.
Yeah, the warrior mentality. And like, he specifically like bases his instruction around there are wolves and there are sheeps, and all these people criticizing you are sheeps, but you guys are the wolves, and you gotta, like,
who better to leave your young children with than a loose collective of wolves and warriors?
Actually, I had that wrong. They are the sheepdogs, and the wolves are the bad guys. So,
I don't
want to misquote him, because he has some really interesting things to say.
Yeah, he's already got his back against the wall right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I there is a lot to say that, you know, I think a lot of people were looking heavily into that. Republicans, like in those areas where they did win, they're being like, you see, that was we did it with that. But again, I think a lot of the mood is just sort of the lack of delivery on all things promised to people who voted for this administration. And also just it seemed like, you know, I was reading some anecdotal stuff like on Twitter from people who were like involved in some elections, saying that in the gubernatorial one, especially, like, there wasn't as much investment like in their ground game as there was for Youngkin too. And there was a lot of like just kind of relying on the base to kind of do their thing. But at the end of the day, everything's moot if no one is talking about the real problems.
Right.
Because then this is just all a fucking smoke show, and not the hot kind.
They did have to invest in all those rubber stamps up in Buffalo, so they couldn't exactly afford a robust ground game in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Boston and Cincinnati elected their first Asian-American mayors in Michelle Wu and Aftab Perival, and both, you know, could be rising stars. I do worry about, like, continuing on a path where charismatic candidates, we put all our hopes in them, even though they're, like, part of a system that doesn't want anything to happen. But, you know, Michelle Wu in particular has like some cool things to say about what she's going to do. So,
hey, free public transit, you know, like a few other policies. I mean, yeah. And not just those mayoral elections, like in Tucson, Arizona, where their Senator Kyrsten Sinema was said no to $15 minimum wage. In Tucson, the city was like, they voted for a $15 minimum wage. Cool. Great. Yeah. Just doing the bare minimum, I think, as it relates to what a minimum wage should even be, because I think if we're being realistic, it should be maybe fucking $30.
Right.
And Pittsburgh, Ed Gainey became Pittsburgh's first black mayor. I mean, there are little victories here and there, but I think for now, most of the punditry is around just creating the doom Democrat. Democrats are fucked thing. And yeah, go off mainstream. Go off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't criticize let's not talk about the problems that might actually motivate someone to move in a certain direction. Just go what went wrong with that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Was he too dull and boring and not appealing enough? Well, I don't know.
Just take the logic from your sports section and bring it over to the election and talk about wins and losses and misses. That was a clear own goal there that they really should have, guarded against.
And don't bring any class awareness into it, please, for the love of God.
What? Class? What are you talking about? Going to class in school? Don't know what you're talking about. Moving on.
Yeah, I got class, man.
Yeah. I'm a classy motherfucker.
Okay? I wear socks when I fuck.
Why is that classy?
Just a very odd person. I'm just envisioning. And you're like, dude, what? They're silk.
Yeah, they're silk. I have the sock garters.
The sock garters on? Yeah. Don't tell me I don't have class.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And I'm still picturing the guy.
The guy with the sock garters.
The sock garters claiming that that's
Do you know
classic.
Anybody who wears socks? Is that a thing still? That's just a purely like old school idea of like what men's business wear was, right?
I think they still exist.
They still exist for, you know, sex like, workers, people newly married.
Well, I get like, but sock garters for your socks.
Like businessman sock garters.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, do you remember like Ren and Stimpy? That was the first time I saw sock garters was like on a character whose feet would just come into frame. And I was like, what the fuck is that guy wearing?
I never see a man in a suit.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess shout out sock garters.
Still
anyway,
out here, still available on Amazon. A men's sock garter, belt, adjustable, two-pack, sturdy clip suspenders for your socks. So, you know, they're still out here. And you know what? I wear them, okay? I'm going to come out. I wear sock garters and they're fine.
I keep saying, Jack, they make socks with elastic on the top now, so you don't need them.
Yeah. No, I like my socks to be straight leg. Like straight leg jeans, just straight up, and they're just like walking. It's like having a hula hoop around each calf, you know. All right, let's talk about Americans' food delivery habits.
I think this is just always interesting. Whenever we're not great admirers of Uber Eats, but let's be real, a lot of people are getting their food from different food delivery services, and the data that they've released, that Takeout published, is there's just some interesting things in there that like that's always revealing when any company has this much data to like go through. I just want to say, first of all, that they're saying there was a over 1200% increase since the before times of people ordering cheese fries. Not sure what that's saying about anything aside from I can't think of a dish that is going to show up like less satisfying than it ever could have fucking cheese fries.
I'm so confused by there's another fry centric data point here, and they are the worst things to get delivered.
What you're referencing is the most ordered item is French fries. Now, this is my question. Is this by default? Because if you're going to order some other things, you're like, yeah, man, just get an order of fries or something.
Right. Or to get into the minimum, sometimes you have to, you know, get something else.
Oh, just to hit the mini? Okay, I see that too. Because I'm also thinking fries don't travel well. It's only happened in a couple places where where you can tell the people working there, like, no, you need a ventilated container to put it in so the steam can escape and not just completely neutralize the crispiness from the frying.
Right.
I don't know. Then there's also really something interesting. They said like the most polite states, like in terms of people who would use please and thank you most in their instructions to the platform, were Montana, Vermont, Oregon, Idaho, and Washington.
But they're doing that in lieu of tipping, correct?
Yeah. Middle finger emoji and the words thank you. And then they also said that the customers in Asheville, North Carolina, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the Florida Keys, the most generous tippers.
Now that's who I care about. Shout out to those three locations.
Yeah. The Florida Keys.
Man. Yeah.
Is that because you can't be like broke and live in the Florida Keys?
It also might just be it's probably that, but there's a lot of rich people everywhere. It also might just be a enormous pain in the ass for them to get the food like from
a restaurant. In the swamps and shit. Yeah.
Well, there's like one way in and out. So like, you know,
dude, you had to take a ferry. Here's a little bit extra.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Here's an extra nickel.
Just show up on a fan boat out back with your order of cheese fries.
Then they said in like pickiest states in terms of people with like the most intensive special instructions, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and Georgia, while the least picky were in West Virginia, Delaware, Utah, South Dakota, and Missouri. Hardly ever any special instructions from those people.
Yeah. I would just say to them, you can add special instructions. That's something that I often felt weird about in the past, but I mean, it's fine, right? They'll get them like a third of the time.
Yeah, it's worth a punt. That's why you just got to be polite whenever I've had ever special instructions, which brings me to this next section where they were putting together like really polite or interesting instructions. And this one spoke to my heart as a spicy food eater who food is never spicy enough for him. This person and their special instructions, they didn't say what restaurant, but they just said this, quote, "Let's give this a try tonight, please. I like hot and spicy," 2 exclamation points. "Make me cry," cry emoji, and hot face cry emoji. "Hot. Please make me hurt. Make extra, extra, extra burning, super, super hot and spicy." 6 flame emoji. "Make it so spicy you would not even eat. So spicy." And
I'm aroused.
I felt that.
For sure.
Dude, make me hurt. Make me cry. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yes, okay. Daddy.
I'm like, what are you ordering? They're like bananas.
Right. What? Indeed. What? Yeah. Or they're trying to murder somebody like in Dumb and Dumber, you know?
Oh, why don't you have a tiny bite of your burger?
Have a little bite.
About it.
Yeah.
My ulcer.
The most ordered things being French fries, Amat sticks are on there, which another thing that is usually not good. I just have to, like, people, American restaurants, all restaurants need to, like, go do a ride along for a day at a Korean restaurant. Korean restaurants somehow manage to make, like, let the food stay so hot when it arrives. They do such a great job with that. Everybody,
and it's
needs
not
to,
because you live near Koreatown.
I mean, it could be, but
it's like it only travels like a mile.
They should try that.
What are they doing? What's the secret, Korean restaurants?
But it's not like it gets here quickly. So I don't know. Maybe right. It is. Maybe it is just a matter of distance. But they've figured something out.
Look, I get mozzarella. Sometimes you just want to hurt.
Yeah.
But you want to eat just a fucking police baton that's been deep fried.
Oh my God. That hurt my stomach.
So sometimes you get the, like, when it's like the, when they get real bad, you're like, oh my God, it's returned to its string cheese state.
Yeah.
Just in a nice breading. Okay.
Yeah. Bearded string cheese. It's not great.
Can we get to these Thanksgiving sides?
Yeah, we should get to the Thanksgiving sides. I would just say one thing in defense of mozz sticks is you can put them in the microwave and they'll be okay. Whereas fries, that doesn't work.
No, toaster oven. I can kind of, if they're thick enough, you can kind of bring fries back to life in a toaster.
Ooh, and also air fryer. That might be what's happening. The rise of the air fryer. People are realizing you can put a stack
of fries. You can feed your dog mozz sticks. Probably don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just another point of view.
Well, I don't want to upset my dog. My dog loves mozz sticks. No, that's fine. We'll always feed you mozz sticks. I'm really concerned.
And chili, right? You were saying chili and chili dogs.
Chili, mozz sticks, chili dogs, glizzies, an all glizzy diet. You know, that's how Rimby gets down.
All right. Yeah. And then we have another food map. Another map with America's favorite fill in the blank. This time we are looking at Thanksgiving sides. I believe we have done this before in the past. I am curious if there's any carryover from the past, but let's get into it. What are we seeing here? What surprises us?
I mean, it seems like more than anything, baked potato or mashed potatoes seem to be one of the most popular things just across the board. What is really interesting to me that in Missouri and in Minnesota, the two big sides are charcuterie tray. Aren't you from Minnesota?
I don't think that's true.
Courtney?
I am. And I was like, are people looking up things they don't know how to make? Or things they don't know what it means?
Right. It's actually the stupidest states, because like people in California are like, mashed potatoes? How do I do that?
Right.
I mean, but I've never seen a charcuterie tray at a Thanksgiving my entire time in Minnesota, I don't think.
Right.
Maybe that's family specific.
I see like little finger foods, right? I've been to people's houses where like they'll do like some little stuffed mushrooms or like little things to nibble on to get you through to the main event. Like a very, that's when I've been to like a very considerate person. And when I say considerate to people who show up high as shit and are very hungry already, those kind of situations.
Finger foods for sure. But like, are we talking about like cheese? Cracker, little meat kind of shit.
What are we doing?
Because I don't see that.
Yeah. Right. It could just be that they are more likely to have big like gatherings and charcuterie trays, something that's easy to Google because you don't even need like instructions. You just need a picture, basically.
There's also another thing, too, where like there's levels to it, right? Because there are people who are like, I've been to Europe. This is not charcuterie. And then you'll go to Ralph's and shit. And I've seen some shit like Boar's Head charcuterie tray. Mm. And it's like loose salami and provolone. So there's levels to it. So they could just be like, oh, yeah, meat and cheese tray.
Right.
But the language is elevating it.
And I can for sure see my aunts being like, yeah, no, this tray of like
charcuterie.
Broken crackers, that's a charcuterie tray.
This fucking charcuterie.
No, ma'am, that's not.
I do want to give one piece of evidence that this map does know what the fuck they're talking about, because hash brown casserole is a reigning champ in Kentucky and Tennessee. Yeah. That is something that I have experienced. Shout out to Marisa, one of my longtime friends who makes that, and she's from Kentucky, and it is fucking bomb.
What is it? Because that of
I feel
all
like
the,
you should share it, the recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, of all the things I was looking at on here, that really caught my eye because I love that combination of words.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me get off of the businessman sock garters board that I was just on.
Pinterest and, board you're just
because I can't remember exactly what it is other than that it is fucking really good. And like I usually eat three helpings. So Cracker Barrel offers a recipe for a hash brown casserole. It's basically cheese and hash browns. I think she has some like bacon in there or some. It's just so good, and it's crispy and soft and hot and always, always good.
This is like a hybrid, like if mac and cheese and mashed potatoes fell
yeah,
in love.
Exactly.
This would be their bi-side racial baby.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
This is fantastic. Yeah, that one and then white gravy also caught my eye in, I think it was that Arkansas.
Yeah.
But does that just mean country gravy?
I don't know. Yeah, right. I guess so. Yeah, that seems right.
It can't be like that racist, right? You're like, no, white gravy.
White.
Fruit
white
salad gravy. Had me kind of disappointed.
Who's like, who's going with fruit salad?
North Dakota.
Oh. Okay. Well,
Or yeah. Side salad. It's like, you guys, there's
Idaho,
a lot of other days in the year.
What Idaho. You're the potato goat and you're out here Googling side salads?
Yeah, they're sandwiched between Oregon and another square state with baked potatoes Wyoming. And mashed potatoes, Wyoming. And they got side salad? Come
yeah.
on.
What's everyone's... Oh, and also, interesting, in Delaware, cauliflower mashed potatoes? Okay.
Yeah, Delaware.
Okay. Okay. Somebody's doing healthy. What's everybody's favorite, though, unequivocally?
Unequivocally, I gotta say, rolls.
okay,
which
Mr.
is a very
Michigan,
popular answer here.
Florida. Yeah, I love the states that are just like rolls.
Has anybody ever seen baked potatoes as a Thanksgiving side? I don't totally think of that as a Thanksgiving
I
side.
I feel like, yeah, you forgot a step. It's mashed.
Yeah.
Twice baked potatoes I have seen, and those are really good. I think I'm going to go with hash brown casserole. That is, and then my mom makes a really good sweet potato casserole. Just fucking drown me in casserole.
There you go, Courtney. Yeah.
I'm going to go mashed potatoes and green bean casserole.
Mm.
Oh, okay. I love stuffing and gravy.
Mm.
I mean,
just drown the stuffing and gravy. Like, I could just eat that. I'm fucking sick.
I was trying to be creative with my answer, but that might be my real answer. If
stuffing?
Stuffing with gravy, man.
Yeah. My favorite part, because when I eat it, I leave that shit at the... It's so weird how I have, like, this deferred gratification strategy on eating a Thanksgiving plate when I'm like, let me get the turkey down because that's, like, the least interesting thing to me. Mm. And then I move to the epic sides. And then I get finally for the last, the coup de grace, I hit the fucking the stuffing with gravy. Oh!
Now, another one that I've not seen in my experience or even seen like really depicted in media, in addition to baked potatoes, is stuffed mushrooms. But stuffed mushrooms, I'm very intrigued by.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I've had them before, just not as a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Side.
Wrong day.
Right.
Mm. It's a great hors d'oeuvre. I will say that. I've had that at one of those places. Like I said, considering the high people that arrive. mm-hmm. with already a ravenous mm-hmm. hunger,
yeah.
who might be unemployed and didn't eat dinner the night before back in that day. That was something that I've absolutely fell in love with.
What is cornbread dressing? Is that just stuffing made of cornbread?
Yeah,
that's,
it must
that's
be.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good too.
Mm.
This just made me hungry and excited for Thanksgiving.
Honestly, hash brown of Zeit Gang, please tweet at me. I'll tweet something. Please hit me with your recipes for any of these things because I'm really curious. Last time I asked for stuff on my birthday, I got some like amazing recipe ideas. If you got a hash brown casserole for someone like me who's about to venture into new uncharted waters, please help me out. What's the best way to do this?
Well, Courtney, it's been such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
So fun to be here. Yeah. I am at Courtney Kosak, last name K-O-C-A-K, on everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. I saw something from the Zeit Gang. Zeit Gang union members sound off. I'm just saying that vibing with Daily Zeitgeist, Miles, and Jack is my other love language. Solidarity, union strong, especially if followed by the Sophia or 20 Day Fiance and Private Parts Unknown.
Hey, look at that.
Holler.
Trinity of shows. They call that the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic Church.
The Holy, Holy Trinity. Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexander, where we talk 90 Day Fiance. First tweet I like is from at Wavy's World, WRLD, tweeting, bro, I hate when babies start acting brand new. Like, motherfucker, it's me. I just saw you last week and we were best friends. Don't do this to me. Which is interesting because you do have those moments where you're like, this baby, like, we're vibing. And then next time you're like, right, you're still learning object permanence. That's fine. Next one is from Folake, at Folake, F0LAKE, tweeted, LA be like, we're going to make a city so unwalkable you have to drive while simultaneously giving you nowhere to park if you do drive. But if you find parking, we will give you a ticket. Feels pretty spot on. And then Miami Bay tweeted, I hope this email finds you face down, ass up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's how I'm starting
That's
my emails.
That's the way we like to email.
Yeah. Let's see. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Brow Tweetin tweeted, date, I'm an expert in genealogy, me, mouthful of bread. How does he fit in the lamp? And and then Juju bread. Tweeted, you changed. Bro, we were 13.
Oh, shit. That's fucking real.
That is absolutely
That's too real. Especially in male relationships.
Uh-huh.
My God.
You changed,
bro,
man.
What the fuck happened? I was like, I was 17 and off my face on Xanax all the time.
Things were not good.
I can remember shit now. Yeah, right. I'm a lot different now.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy today?
I think another great collection of artists collaborating. This is Masego, Big Boy, okay, and Jid together on a track called Garden Party. Masego's got a great voice. Jid is a great lyricist and MC, and you know Big Boy. You already know Daddy Fastex, B-I-G-B-O-I. He is that same motherfucker that took them knuckles to your eye. He is also on this track, and like, it's cool just to hear these, you know, newer artists with Big Boy and like some good forward-thinking melodic production. It kind of reminds me of a potential Outkast track without Dre.
So, well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.